I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading for today is from Mark chapter 6, 1 through 13. And he left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? And is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, among their own kin, and in their own house. And he could no deed of power there, except he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, and to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. And if any place will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed all that should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. May God bless the reading of His Word.
Thank you, John. You may have noticed he read that almost as though he were there. I'm not so sure he wasn't. But good reading.
I like that.
You know, there's something about this scripture that speaks to us in ways that normally scripture doesn't address quite so clearly. But I do believe that Mark 6, 1 through 13 does. And before I get started, I'm going to tell you a little story because it's unusual this happens, but something happened Wednesday that pretty much goes along with this entire message. I was at Cornerstone Wednesday and I was preaching, and they invite me from time to time. And when I walked in, several of the men pulled me off to the side and they said, "I knew you were going to show up in coat and tie." Well, I always wear my suit when I go. And I said, "Yes." And they said, "You know, preachers don't do that anymore." And I said, "What?" And they said, "You know, they've evolved. It's over 100 degrees out there. You're going to kill yourself. You don't need a coat and tie." Well, it's just what I've always been told, you know, when especially representing our church, I want to look my best. And I know a suit and tie doesn't always do it, but I try. And they were saying, "Well, you just don't need a suit and tie in this heat. If nothing else for the summer, just wear a shirt. The guys that come and the women that come here, they are not dressed up at all. Most of them just wear a polo shirt." That's very difficult for me because that means I have to evolve, right? I have to change from the way I was raised and told that you represent a church and that you do things to the modern way of doing things. So evolving is very much a part of our lives. And I know, you know, a lot of people think of evolving as a bad word, especially if it's brought in to evolution. Well, evolution is a good word. It's another part of evolving. You have evolution. And the word evolution has suffered serious backlash for many, many years, and yet it's really a good word. Where would we be if we didn't evolve? In fact, we as a people evolve every day. We are not talking about Darwin or anything like that when we speak of evolving as a people or as a culture or as a nation. I want you to think about it. Some things are, as the old saying goes, as plain as the nose on your face. We are no longer cavemen and women, are we? We've evolved. We have evolved to a higher form of living. Fire was discovered. The wheel was created. Homes have been built instead of living in a cave. All of this bespeaks of evolving, right? That's what we do. Our own culture, our own country that we celebrate the freedom of today has evolved from the days of the Revolutionary War. Our weapons are different. Our clothing is different. We've evolved. So it's actually a good thing that we do. I mean, come on, even your family evolves. What family, as the children become adults, remains intact with grandparents, parents, children, and grandchildren living in the same home? No, they evolve, they grow up, they move out. They move to different parts of the country. I have a daughter living in Las Vegas, a son living in New York, and my other son, who is in Waco, is going to be in Indiana in about 5 weeks. They've evolved, they've grown, and they're starting their own lives. And that's really what we look at when we talk about the evolutionary process is evolving into their own selves, their own being, their own home. Some evolution is real, and we are constantly evolving in our society, our homes, our jobs. We evolve. Though many of us have seen pictures of huge eagles' nests high in the branches of a tree or in the crag of a cliff, few of us have gotten a glimpse inside. And Seth and Laura and I used to go down and look at eagles down near Lampasas. And it's an interesting thing when you have a guide who can tell you all about this, because when an eagle builds a nest, the first thing mom does is go down and get rocks and thorns. And she puts them all in the nest. That forms the nest. Then she will go and kill, get fur, feathers, whatever she can find to pad that nest and make it really nice. And then she lays her eggs. So when the babies are born, it's very comfy. It's really nice. But when they get old enough to fly, and they don't want to fly because mom's been taking care of them and feeding them, mom uses those talons, big, great talons of an eagle, and begins to pull up all the fur and all of the stuffings that made it nice until the rocks and the thorns are sticking up. And those little chicks say, I don't want to stay here. This isn't comfortable. And then they fly. That's how an eagle raises her babies, is to say, you know, it's time for you to be on your own. You need to evolve to your own nest. I'm getting rid of all the comforts of home. You got to make it on your own. And they evolve. I don't know how many of you knew that about eagles, but that's a pretty smart thing, you know. Let's just start making home a little uncomfortable. I'm not advocating you do that to your children. I'm simply saying it works for the eagle. But it's something to see how our society, as I said, so often if you mention evolution, first thing they think of is Darwin. But evolution involves so much more than that. It's growing. It's being a different person. Listen to our scripture again. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, where did this man get all of this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Like so many, the many in Jesus' hometown could not evolve beyond their own teaching. I go to the synagogue and I'm told this is what I do, and I'm told this is the way to live. And then here comes Jesus, and I'm supposed to accept him as something more than the carpenter's son? Have you ever had the experience of trying to live in the shadow of your parents and people expecting you to be like your parents? And can you imagine how difficult it is if you're the son of God and everyone wants you to act like Joseph? That's what they wanted. They never evolved. It never occurred to them that God could use them and anyone in a different capacity. Excuse me. This is the thing. If Jesus was the son of a carpenter, how could he be anything else? Are you what your parents were or are? Did you go and follow in their footsteps and everyone sees you just as a continuation? Or are you your own person? Did you evolve beyond that? I don't know what it's like in Detroit, Texas, but I'm just guessing that when Jack Carter goes back and says, I'm a judge, the first time he did that, they're like, no, you're not. You're Jack. I know you. You're in this small town, and you're never going to be anything beyond that. Because that's what they're saying to Jesus. You can't be any greater than what we expect you to be. And that's just not how it works. When I started out in ministry 41 years ago, I was eventually called to serve my home church. Now, folks, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but when I went to my home church, I was scared. I grew up in that church. And when I walked in, I had men and women walking up to me saying, I remember when you dated my daughter. I remember when you were in trouble here in town. I never did anything bad, but some of the people thought maybe I did. But, you know, they have those memories and those expectations. And what I heard more than anything, well, I never dreamed you'd be a preacher. And you know why? This was the biggest reason. You were always so quiet and shy. I never dreamed you would be able to get up in front of people. But I had evolved. I went through 7 years in the Navy. I went through a war. Trust me when I say, it'll change you. And I changed. And at first, they weren't very accepting of the change, but it turned out to be a great experience. It was really nice. And they began to call their kids who had moved away, and they'd come back, and we would have a reunion right there in the church. But people never expect anyone, especially in a small town, to be any more than they were when they were growing up. And that's sad, because if we don't evolve, we don't grow. How many of us could go into ministry and find friends and family who knew you as a child and are surprised? Last time I saw my doctor, Dr. Waymeyer is just a great guy. I love him. He's one of the best doctors I've had in my life and moving around. But he was telling me a story about how he went to see a patient who was coming out of anesthesia. And church chimes were ringing in the background there in Waco. And he heard the patient murmur as she came out from under, I think I'm in heaven. Then she saw him and said, no, I can't be. There's Dr. Waymeyer. He said that was quite an experience for him. But I think sometimes people do that and they look at us and they think they're in heaven and then they see us and they go, oh, wait, that can't be. So many people are shocked when someone changes and aren't willing to accept that change. Or they are disappointed because things aren't what they want or what they expect. Perhaps these folks in Jesus' hometown thought, I'll walk up and ask him to make a chair for me. But wait a minute. He's got all these people around him and they're saying that he's the Son of God. I may never get my chair. Jesus grew up as the son of a carpenter. It was one of those small towns where everybody knew everybody. So here Jesus comes with his entourage and they can't accept the change, the evolution that Jesus has experienced. Keep in mind, Jesus started his ministry somewhere around 30, 33 years old. They had known him for a long time. How dare him change? How dare him evolve into a rabbi? They thought he had mental issues. They did. They thought, the son of Joseph has gone crazy. And why all the shock and disappointment? Why? Because so many of us do not allow for a person to evolve. Somebody may come through that door that you knew many years ago, you haven't seen in years. They're dressed in a suit and they have a limo sitting out front, and you say, they were nothing. And you don't let them evolve past that. Do we hold people where they used to be or where they are now? Remember the folks who said, we would never travel into space. John, do you remember those people? They said, we can't go to space. That's unobtainable. We can't do it. And yet we have. We still have people who don't believe that we have. But we did. You might remember the folks who said there would never be anything like television. You have to go to the movies. Then here came television and basically replaced the movies. Hollywood had to change. Even the people, and Jim will remember this, when people said that Elvis Presley was the worst thing that ever happened to this country. He and his gyrating hips, oh my gosh, he's just a nasty guy. Then rock and roll just kept going, and they look back and they say, I sure like that little Elvis boy. He was a good boy. It's amazing how we are always fighting evolution. We could go down a list of things just in our lifetimes that have evolved, but I'm going to name a few. I want you to think about this because this really was a problem when it came about. Horse and buggy versus the automobile. No, automobile will never replace horse and buggy. Landlines versus cell phones. Anyone here not have a cell phone? Radio and television. Boy, people would listen to the Lone Ranger on radio. Then it got on TV. Well, that's just not the same. Lead and wooden toys versus plastic. I had a lot of little army men, and they were all made of lead. Anybody want some? I mean, they found out that's not good stuff. We look at the stars, and now we're traveling through the stars. We used to hand wash, now we machine wash. There used to be the old ice box. You put a big chunk of ice in, you used that, didn't you, John? And now we got refrigerators. You just plug them in and you've got cool air. In nearly every instance, there were people who said, it's a fad, it won't last. It's not going to evolve into that because I can't accept the change. And now we have our very faith, our churches, going through an evolution unlike anything we could have imagined in the past. People are turning to their computers, iPads, and other mediums to attend church. And yes, they are, by today's standards, attending church. And they're sitting at home. Sunday school is in the same boat as many church programs are. We have evolved, and the question is, how will we adapt to this change? The evolution of our faith, our church. Do we deny that it's happening? Do we stand back and call it names and decry it as invalid? Or do we embrace it and learn how to turn what appears to be a negative into a positive? What will we do? Because what we do will set the tone for the future of Christianity. What we do will determine if the world sees us as a people of change, as was our Lord and Savior, or a people of negativity and hate, as were the Sadducees and Pharisees, not to mention Jesus' own hometown. We are moving at a fast pace toward an unknown medium for church. We are faced with a change many will try to avoid or deny needs to be made. I pray we stay the course. Learn what we can about changes that will be positive for us and will allow us to grow in ways we never dreamed. Jesus offered his hometown, his leadership as the Son of God, but they refused him. They refused him. Listen to this. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house. Do no deed of power there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Should Jesus be amazed at our unbelief or at our belief? We choose. We choose as we move into the future of what this is all going to be about. He could do no deed of power there, and he was amazed at their unbelief. Let our Lord and Savior do deeds of power here by stepping up to face the future. Let him be amazed at our belief. That's what we're looking at. A future of change, of evolving into a different kind of church. Where does your power come from? From the Lord Jesus Christ? Or from what you've always known, whether true or not? Do you stand with the Lord so he can do powerful things? Or are you going to deny who he really is and what he can do with what we're facing today? Let us pray. Loving God, we know that we face an uncertain future. There are so many things that we need to change. We need to evolve into a church that is more aware of our surroundings and what the people in our world need. May we meet those needs. May you empower us to meet those needs. May you give us the strength and the courage to meet those needs. For we ask this in your Son's name, the great evolution himself. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.